want to speak to you this afternoon on the fullness of power. Psalm 62:11, God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. The kind of power we're talking about, not horsepower, it is the power of God, and just a powerful thing. But we want to talk about how to get that power through a surrendered life. The Word of God is interestingly contradictory to the way we think. The man with power is the guy with great muscles who lifts great weights, right? You know, who overcomes. But in God's world, the way it works is that His power works through us if we reduce ourselves and open it up for Him. So Romans 6:19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have, he's talking about before you were saved, as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, to iniquity unto iniquity. How did you live your life when you were unsaved? You yielded the members, eyes, ears, tongue, feet, hands. You yielded them to uncleanness, and that led to sin unto sin, iniquity unto iniquity. But he says we can learn a pattern from that. Even so, now yield ye your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. We know how it worked when we were being tempted, see, that an idea came, and then we thought about it. We dwelt on that thought. And then finally, we got to the place where we committed our body to the doing of that wrong. Well, he says it works the same way, but opposite, as we're yielding to God, yielding to the Holy Spirit, that He will prompt us, we will have a thought, and it will be a good thought. And you might not, you might say, where did that thought come from? I should write a thank you note to who? What's going on here? But then as we think about it, a little meditation, we think about it, then at some point we commit ourselves to the doing of it. So what does it mean to yield? Yield is a simple word, but spiritually, it's one of the hardest words in the Christian vocabulary. To yield means to present yourself. This word yield is the soldier going to the king, drawing his sword, but laying the sword across his arm and saying, I yield my sword to you as my king. See, I will use it only as you wish. So it's yielding. Spiritually, it means to yield yourself entirely at God's disposal, to hand Him the keys, to hand Him the plans, the rights, the dreams, and even the fears of your future. You think what that means, what that would you be? Fullness of power does not come through talent, through effort, or religious activity. It comes from God alone, and He gives it only to the surrendered life. The Word of God instructs us in His power. The blood of Christ purchased our right to that power. The Holy Spirit enables that power, and prayer connects us to the source of that power. But it is surrender that opens the door to the flow of power. It's all set up for us. In our salvation, the work's all done. And God would like to show His power through you. But you have to surrender. You have to be His person. My goal in this message is fairly simple. I want each of us to pray sincerely, Heavenly Father, from this moment on, I have no will of my own. Your will be done in me through me, by me, and regarding me in all things. I put myself without reservation, without holding anything back, in your hands to do with me whatever you will. The missionary said, send me anywhere, only go with me. And let's understand this. Absolute surrender is not bondage. It is the secret to unlock blessedness and power. So let's examine five areas that full surrender opens up to us. Number one, surrendered life gives power in understanding God's word. People ask me, as a Bible teacher, how can I understand it? I'd like to understand it like you're trying to teach it. John 7:17, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. There is a thing, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself, there's a thing about giving ourselves to what God says. When we do that, we understand his truth. You can approach what the Bible says hypothetically. You can approach it as a philosophy. But until you actually put it into practice, you don't understand it. You don't get it. See? An unsurrendered life lies behind most of the skepticism, the confusion, and the spiritual dullness in the world. The Bible becomes a closed book when the heart is closed before God. Many believers wrestle for years with questions that would dissolve in a moment if they simply yielded their will to him. The issue is rarely intellectual. It is moral. It is not that the believer's mind cannot understand. See, the unsaved cannot understand. Their spirit is not open to that. But the believer's mind, it's not that they cannot understand, it's that his will does not want to obey. But if I did that, this would happen. See, you predict the future. Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, that you may put to the test, that you may try it and find it true, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Prove, literally to test, to examine, to scrutinize. This is the word that dakimazo that they use. I bring this rock that's glittering and I take it to the mineralogist and I say, I want you to test this to see if it's gold. And that's the word, the Greek word, dakimazo. That's what he says here. Check this to see if it's a real thing, whether it's genuine or not. Surrender clears the fog. When you surrender, the scriptures become alive. When you surrender, the commands of God stop feeling heavy. When you surrender, the promises of God shine with new light. Doubts and fears often grow in the soil of self-will. When you give your choices to God, he gives you peace. Double-mindedness, holding on to God and the world, holding on to his way and my way, the way that he says I should go and the way I kind of feel like I'd like to go. Double-mindedness creates a darkness, while single-mindedness creates light. Matthew 6:22-23. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore the eye be single-focused, see, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. And if what could have been the light, if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Are you laboring in doubts and fears? You find that in your life? Surrender to God. Give him your will. A second opening of a door here is the surrendered life gives power in prayer. 1 John 3:22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments. That's surrender, you see. And do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Not in our sight, in his sight. Your prayer becomes powerful when your heart is aligned with God. God is not interested in granting requests that run contrary to his purposes. He loves us too much to indulge our self-will. Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord. There's the first step, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. When your desires align with God, he gives you the desires of your heart. James 4:1-3, from whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Now, it's not written this way, but it's best to understand it as triplets. You lust, you have not, you kill. See? You want it, you don't get it, so you kill to get it. You desire to have, you cannot obtain, you fight and more. See? Yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. So when we surrender, something beautiful happens. His will becomes our will. We're aligned, you see. Your prayer becomes powerful because you're asking for God, for what God already delights to give. Jesus received what he asked for because he lived in perfect surrender to his Father. Listen to him. John 11:42. And I knew that thou hearest me always, because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. He's praying out loud, and he says, Father, I know you always hear me, but I'm saying this so that they can believe. John 4:34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat, what fulfills me, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. John 6:38, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Can we get to that place? The more we surrender, the more our prayers resemble his, and the more power they carry. Surrender turns prayer from a shopping list into a partnership. The third opening, surrendered life gives power of joy. You know, the sad phase, downhearted look, not much power in that, but the power of joy. John 15:10-11. And I love this. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, not to restrict your joy, that my joy might remain in you. The joy he had in serving his Father was a great joy, and he wanted us to feel that. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy, maybe you don't think of him as a man of joy, you know, he's a man of sorrows, right? But he was a man of joy, and he wants that joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Luke 10:17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. They had surrendered to his will and went out to do what he told them to do. Came back with joy. Happiness, happy comes from happenstance, happening. Happiness may be the product of favorable circumstances. Joy is the fruit of a yielded heart. The unsurrendered life is always tense, always anxious, always guarding its own interests. But the surrendered life rests because it trusts and rejoices. Joy comes when we stop fighting God. Joy comes when we stop insisting on our own way. Joy comes when we place our lives in the hands of the one who loves us best. The surrendered Christian may not have an easy life, but he has a joyful one. I've been to rooms where people have been confined for health reasons and difficult times, and left there so encouraged because these people were just joyful in the Lord. The fourth door that's opened is the surrendered life gives power in knowing Christ. John 14:21, listen to this. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, in other words, surrendered, it is he that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. I will show myself to him. How real is Christ to you? Is he as real as your spouse or your closest friend? He can be, and in fact, he longs to be. He becomes real to the degree that we walk in the path that he walked, the path of surrender. Jesus said he did nothing of himself, but only what the Father taught him. If we can walk that, we understand him, we see him, we feel him. If you want to know Christ deeply, or his entire earthly life was one long yes. If you want to know Christ deeply, intimately, personally, then live every day as he lived, yielding, trusting, happily obedient. Surrender is the doorway into the fellowship of Christ's heart. Live life like Jesus, who said, "Then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things." And the fifth door, the surrendered life gives power through the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's waiting. Acts 5:32, we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. The power of God given to those that obey. The Holy Spirit does not fill a life that is already full of self, full of selfish plans, full of self-centered pride. He fills the life that is emptied and yielded. A song that my wife and I sang in our youth group, a special song. I'll read it to you as a poem, rather than regale you with my musical abilities. Treasures by Martha Snell Nicholson. One by one he took them from me, all the things I valued most, until I was empty-handed. Every glittering toy was lost. Then I walked earth's highways, grieving in my rags and poverty, till I heard his voice inviting, "Lift your empty hands to me." So I held my hands toward heaven, and he filled them with a store of his own transcendent riches till they could contain no more. Then at last I comprehended with my finite mind and dull that God could not pour his riches into hands already full. Surrender is the Spirit's invitation. It is the clearing of the throne so he may sit on it, clearing us off the throne of our life. The Spirit empowers the surrendered believer. The Spirit guides the surrendered believer. The Spirit produces fruit in the surrendered believer. The fullness of the Spirit is not achieved by effort. It is received by surrender. My conclusion, the prayer of a surrendered heart. The fullness of power is not reserved for the gifted or the strong or the naturally disciplined. It's reserved for the surrendered. So the question today is not, are you capable? The question is, are you yielded? Will you pray this prayer as a sincere personal commitment? Heavenly Father, from this moment on, I have no will of my own. Thy will be done in me, through me, by me, and regarding me in all things. I put myself without reservation in thy hands to do with me whatever thou wilt. Sincerely offered, this begins a life filled with divine power. Let's pray. Our Father, we live in a world where everyone is trying to exercise their will over others. And we want to be different, Father. We want to be the ones who just bow before you and give our surrendered life to you. Use us as you will. May we be like an axe in the hands of a man, that we don't have any will ourselves. We try to be as sharp and useful as we can, but then just to be picked up and used by you to accomplish your purposes. And in doing that, we find great power coursing through us. Pray thy blessing then in Jesus' name. Amen.